righteousness of God. For Christ is the end. Everyone say the end. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that does these things has to live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, everyone say faith, it speaks differently. It speaks on this wise. This is how righteousness which is of faith speaks. This is how it talks. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it, or how does this righteousness which is of faith talk? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Everyone shout out thy mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, everyone say thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, everyone say the mouth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, this is the trademark of the people that really believe in God. This is their signature stamp. This is their identifying badge. They shall not be ashamed. They're not ashamed to worship. They're not ashamed to live for God. They're not ashamed to lift up praise to God. They shall not be ashamed. You are welcome to interrupt the preaching with worship at any point, any moment, any second, because that is always in order in the house of God. This is not my kind of message. This is not my preaching style. This is not even a good sermon. And I said to God, how in the world do I get this across to these people? And he said, well, start by explaining it this way. In the church, you got, just like in a car, you've got a brake and you've got an accelerator. And he said, some people that are around the church, they're brakes. They would just like everything to settle down, quiet down, sit down. And just let's go on with the program. And God spoke to Pastor this morning and said, but what I've got going right now is I've got some people that just push the pedal to the metal, and they're not interested in putting on the brake. They're interested in just diving off the deep end into what God has for us. And we know when we dive off the deep end, you know what people are going to say? They're off the deep end. Yeah, that's right. We just jumped in to what God has for us and what God's doing, and we're not ashamed of that. Now, Paul, in this passage, he talks about righteousness, and the word righteousness was formerly spelled right-wiseness. And when applied to human beings, righteousness or right-wiseness means a right turning or turning upright or uprightness or straightness. And it literally explains and expresses how God takes our upside down lives and turns them right side up when we allow God to live in us and we let him lead us. And if you're new around here, you know this firsthand, because God has been tapping you on the shoulder in the spirit and saying, you know what, that really doesn't please me. And you've been saying, well, God, that's cool. I'll just leave it there, walk away, because I want everything you have for me. That's the right turning of God. That's the uprightness of God. He literally takes people that were once in darkness and brings them into his incredible light. He takes people that had no past, and he had a past but no future, and gives them a future with no past. God is an incredible deliverer. And so he turns us right side up. And in this passage, Paul refers to a group of people who, number one, are ignorant of how God's righteousness works, and number two, they are trying to establish their own rules of righteousness. Very religious people. They've got religion down pat. They know how it should be. They know how the song should be. They know how the music should be. They know how the preaching should be. And they certainly know how the response of the people should be. They've got it all down pat. But Paul said these people are trying to establish their own righteousness, and as a result, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Because when you submit to the righteousness of God, it doesn't put a frown on your face. It puts joy in your heart. And when you submit to the righteousness of God, it doesn't make you the world's best armchair critic. It makes you the world's greatest participant in what God is doing. That's the right turning of God. It may surprise you how God's righteousness is ultimately expressed in a human life. What is the ultimate expression of God's right turning? What is the ultimate expression? How is it that we climb up the ladder of God's righteousness, so to speak, and He changes us from the inside out? What is the ultimate expression? It's the title of the sermon today. It's in your mouth. Everyone say, it's in your mouth. Now, with apologies to the politically correct and the religiously refined, this will probably mess you up. So I'm going to stick real close to the Bible. There's a lot of scriptures, and if you want to check them out, that's wonderful. But we are in a season when God is moving, and we are in a season when God is looking, not for brakes. He's looking for accelerators. He's got enough brakes. There's always somebody wanting to calm it down and shut it down and quiet it down. There's always somebody wanting to go just a little bit slower, because it's easier for me to keep up in my spiritual coma if you guys don't move very fast. Last night, in prayer meeting, if you're missing prayer meeting, I don't know how to describe what you're missing. God just spontaneously, people just began to clap their hands and stand to their feet. And God just it's incredible. Nobody orchestrated that. Nobody organized it. Nobody asked for it. God just did it. And we responded. Now Paul says, Christ is the end. Everyone say the end. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He says that in verse 4 of this passage we read. In other words, Jesus already did it all. He didn't forget anything. He didn't omit anything. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't get back up to heaven and say, oh, rats, I forgot to do that part. He did it all. And furthermore, Paul says, there is a righteousness that goes beyond the righteousness of the law. It is the righteousness which is of faith. And before Paul tells us what that kind of righteousness does and says, he tells us what it does not say. He said, this kind of righteousness is not like the righteousness of the law. Because the righteousness of the law says, God, come down from heaven. Who will ascend up into heaven and bring the Lord down? Or who will descend into the deep and bring Him up? In other words, God, come right here by me and meet my need and touch me and look after me and comfort me and hold me. God, you just come down from heaven. Forget everybody else. Forget the world. Forget the lost. Just come down here. Just come right down to me. That's the righteousness which is of the law or of works. It's all about you. It's all about what you get from God. But Paul said there's a righteousness which is of faith. And he says, it doesn't say, I wish Jesus could come down from heaven right now and hold on to me. I wish God could come down in my situation and make the sun shine and do it all right and I'd never have another care. No, Paul says, this righteousness is different. It says, I believe and I am sure and I am assured that Jesus has already done everything He needs to do and He's already conquered the devil and defeated hell. So that is a done deal. I'm not waiting for God to show up to deliver me from hell. There's enough power in the Holy Ghost to keep me free from the clutches of hell all the rest of the days of my life. I'm not waiting for God to show up and give me deliverance. Deliverance is in the Word. Deliverance is in the worship. Deliverance is in the presence of God. He's already done everything He needs to do to deliver you. It's all done. It's complete. It is finished. Somebody said that. It was Jesus. Totally, completely finished. Everything's already been done. And not only has Jesus risen to the place of spiritual authority, but listen, He has also already shared that spiritual authority with us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Turn it open if you can. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Somebody say, I need a revelation. And you really do. You need a revelation. You can't understand the Bible by opening it up once a month and blowing the dust off a page and reading two verses. You understand the Bible by praying that God will give you a revelation of what's in there because it's a spiritual book. And Paul says in 18, the eyes of your understanding. This is the revelation we're praying for. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. Somebody say, in the Saints, God invested all the power and all the glory and all the authority of His kingdom in the most unlikely place. Paul says in another epistle, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God took all the authority that He won at Calvary. He took all the authority of heaven. Guess where He invested it? He invested it in the saints. He invested it in your prayers. He invested it in our worship. That's where God put His authority. And He would like you to be revealed, to know, to have revelation. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Watch, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ. Everyone say, He already did it. He already did it. He wrought it in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Watch, and He set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. That's the place of all power and authority. Far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So Jesus already has it sewed up. He's above everything that's ever come against you. He's above every problem that's ever come into your life. He's above every sickness that a doctor's ever said you had. He's above every financial difficulty that you ever got yourself into. He's above every problem that His church has ever face. He's already far above, seated in heavenly places. But verse 22 is the secret. And He has put all things under His feet. And He gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the what? To the church, which is His body. Everyone say body. We're His body. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. In other words, everything that God has, everything that God is, everything that God can do, He has invested it in the church, His body. And just in case you didn't get it there, Paul emphasizes it again in chapter 2, verse 6. And He has raised us up together. And he said in chapter 1, Jesus is seated in heavenly places. Watch this. And He has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You may think you're seated on a pink padded pew, but where you're really seated, if you're a child of God, is you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every bit of power that He ever won, He's given to you. Every bit of authority that He ever won, He's invested in you. And just in case you didn't get it in chapter 2, He re-emphasizes it in chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now, under the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, He wants all them to see that it might be known, everyone say this, by the church. God looks to all the angels. He looks to all the fallen angels. He gets the devil's nose and rubs it in it. Look at my church. I am going to do incredible things in the earth by my church. I'm going to do powerful things in the earth through my church. I'm going to do powerful things in the earth in my church. That's us. To the intent that now unto all those people in heaven might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose by which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have what? Boldness. Everyone say boldness. And we have what? Access with confidence. That's your key. When you approach God, some of you are still approaching Him like you're some little orphan and He doesn't care. And He's got His back turned and He's talking to all the good people. God is waiting for you to talk to Him. God is waiting for you to reach out to Him. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or how weak you consider yourself to be or how new you are around here. You can walk into God's presence with boldness and with access and with confidence. Now get this. This is a mental image. This is a pictorial doctrine. Jesus says through His word written by the Apostle Paul that He is above every principality, every power, all things in heaven, all things in earth. Everybody got that point? Raise your hand. He's above it all. He's above it all. He's greater than it all. He's more powerful than it all. He's got enough authority to blow it all to bits with one word out of His mouth or just the lifting of His little finger. Everybody got that point? Lift your hand. He's above it all. And then He says, you are His body. Everybody got that point? We're the body of Christ. Now think, this is a pictorial doctrine. It's a mental picture of how God revealed Himself in and through the church. If you're His body, and if He's put the devil under His feet, and you're the body, and even if you're the lowest point in the body, if you're the weakest point in the body, if the devil is under His feet, and you're His body, that's where the devil is this morning in your situation. He's not only under the feet of Jesus, He's under your feet. You don't have to take the mess that hell wants to bring in your home. You don't have to take the mess that hell wants to create in your life. You are a child of God. You're part of His church. You're part of His body. And if the devil is under Jesus' feet and you're His body, the devil is under your feet. Somebody lift up your voice and worship God in this place this morning. Lift your voice up loud. That's in order. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Lift up your voice and give God praise. You don't have to take that mess that the devil wants for you. You don't have to. You don't have to. The answer to what you need today. You think it's in Pastor's sermon. You think it's in the music. You think it's in getting together at 71 Downing Street and sitting here for an hour and a half. It's not in all of that. That's all good. That's all wonderful. But the answer is much closer than what you could ever have hoped for. The answer is literally right here. It's in your mouth. You say, I don't believe that. Well, here's what the Bible says. You see, David, King David, young David, shepherd boy David, he learned a key spiritual concept during his life. And it helped him get strength from God in his trials. And it helped him to silence and defeat his enemies. And it's something so simple that our little kids in kids' prayer on Saturday night come running down from the upper room up there. And they come into prayer meeting. And while all the adults are worshiping God and praising God and getting deliverance, you know what those kids are doing? Little kids, older kids, they're just worshiping God and talking in tongues and praising God, because this is so simple that even a kid can do it. Psalm 8 and 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still or silence or defeat the enemy and the avenger. Someone say the fourth word of that verse. What is it? Somebody say it again. Out of your mouth, out of the mouth of even little kids, there's a weapon so powerful. There's a weapon so eternal. There's a weapon so supernatural. There's a weapon with so much authority that when you open up your mouth and you begin to give praise to God, that weapon is not powerful because your brain strung 25 words together. But that weapon is powerful because of who it's focused on. That weapon is powerful because of who it's directed to. And when you speak out praise to God, God ordains strength. When you're speaking out praise, God sends back strength. When you're speaking out words of worship, God sends back His strength. Man. The devil launches so many attacks against the people of God. He attacks your finances. He attacks your kids. He attacks your home. He attacks your marriage. He attacks your mind. He attacks you in every way possible. And God didn't give us 15 weapons to throw back against the devil. He only gave us one. He only gave us one. It's the weapon of prayer and praise. It's the weapon that we throw back at the devil. We don't even have to mess with him. We just hook up with God. And when you hook up with God, God looks after the devil. You don't have to tackle the devil toe to toe. All you have to do is direct praise to God, and God sends back strength to you, and He has put the devil under your feet. If you choose to listen to the devil, that's your business. If you choose to let the devil talk to you, that's your business. If you choose to listen to his counsel, that's your business. But I choose to listen to God. I choose to send up praise. I choose to receive strength. Jesus referred to that very same concept during the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He came into the city and people began to recognize who he was. And little kids picked up palm branches, ripped them off the palm trees and threw them in the ground. And they began to praise him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And guess who got upset? Yeah, it was the brakes. They said, could you please quiet these people down? They're making a lot of racket. Do you hear what these people are saying? And Jesus said this to them. He looked them back eyeball to eyeball and he said in Matthew 21:16, have you never read what David wrote? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Somebody said, wait a minute, Pastor. Jesus quoted it wrong. David wrote, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. And Jesus must have misquoted, because he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. He didn't misquote it. He amplified it. He didn't misquote it. He explained it. He said, here's how you get strength from God. It's not by getting in an altar and saying, God, I'm so miserable and I'm so down and the devil's been torturing me all week and I just want to kneel here in your presence and feel sorry for myself for about 25 minutes. And after that, I'll go home. I'll do the crank and cry every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. God said, no, you don't understand. There's a strength that comes to the people of God, but it doesn't come through whining. It doesn't come through moaning. It doesn't come through complaining. It doesn't come through beating yourself up. It comes when you praise God. Praise is the one single weapon that God has given to His church. And what you feel in here this morning is not just exuberance and excitement and an emotional response. It is praise that's sending up on high. And when it does, there's supernatural strength that returns on the same wavelength to the people of God. So if you'd like some strength, then you need to send up some praise. If you'd like some victory, you need to send up some worship. If you'd like deliverance, you need to send up a few words out of your mouth to God. You see, the Bible teaches us specifically, not your hands, not your feet, not your mind. The mouth is the center of spiritual warfare. And your mouth either launches the devil's weapons or God's weapons. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you want to make the enemy look small, Pastor Jack said it this morning, then you make your God look big with your praise. Praise does not change God. He's not any more mighty when you get done worshiping Him than He was before. But I'll tell you what praise does. It alters your perspective. You were looking face to face with your problem all week, and by Sunday morning it looks so huge. You've heard the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. You've spent your week with your nose pressed up against a big old pine in the forest of your discouragement. What you need to do is back up and look up and see that there's a God who rules over all. He's so big, the Bible says, He holds the whole universe in the span of His hand. He can hold the whole universe, not just our planet. He holds the whole universe in the span of His hand. He's that big. You think He can't fix your problem? You think He can't get you through your trial? What you need to do is open up your mouth. Somebody say, it's in your mouth. Now turn it around at yourself. Say, it's in my mouth. Now the brakes never believe that. The brakes believe that it's in the, just sitting there. Wait until God kind of knocks them off the pew. And if God chooses to knock me off the pew, then I'll respond. Thank God for accelerators. Thank God for people that don't care what they look like or their little classy little self. Thank God for people that are not so impressed with their own ego and reputation and class that they really could care less if you're sitting back going... They could really care less. Michael did that to David in the Old Testament. He said, you think you've seen bad stuff now? God is in this place this morning. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called The Tipping Point. It's a good book, business book, whatever they call it. I've read it. It's good. If you like that kind of stuff, it's well worth the read. But he says something very important. He said, the difference between a flood of sales in a company and starving to death is sometimes just one little tiny thing, the tipping point. The tipping point in an advertising campaign where something becomes a household word instead of a product mired in oblivion. Sometimes it's just one tiny little thing. Listen to Pastor this morning. The tipping point for some of you in your relationship with God. Listen to me. The tipping point between you sitting there thinking, man, everybody else got the Holy Ghost and I never got it. The tipping point is right here. Now, your mind will resist that because this is going to interfere with your class, your ego, and your prestige and your nice little Sunday best. The tipping point between your deliverance, not being delivered and being delivered, is right here. The righteousness which comes by faith comes through the mouth. It's all about what you say and how you say it. I could go through. I've got such a list of scriptures, and I'm basically out of time. Let me give you a couple here. In fact, guys, we just won't even do this on the screen. I'll say it, and if somebody wants to get the tape. Exodus 4. God said to Moses, "Who made man's mouth anyway? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth." Everyone say your mouth. God said, you go, and as you say it, I'll do it. Psalm 81, verse 10, "I am the Lord your God, brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it." He's talking about provision. Deuteronomy 30, the verse that Paul actually quoted from. "But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." And God says, "See, I've set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. You choose." How do you choose? You choose by what you say. You choose by what your mouth does. Psalm 89, verse 1, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth." Somebody say, "My mouth." "Will my mouth, with my mouth will I make known your faithfulness." Psalm 109, verse 30, "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth." Psalm 149, verse 6, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." Put that one up on the screens, 149 and 6 of Psalms. The word praises is not even in the verse in the Hebrew. It's implied in the English. It just says, "Let the high of God be in their mouth." And high in that word means lifted up. But it doesn't mean God. It means you. It means lift yourself up. Set yourself up. Pull yourself up. Get yourself up. And that's what it means. Let your get up and go, get up and praise God is basically what the psalmist is saying there. When you get into the presence of God, it's not time to apply the brake and wait for God. It's time to apply the accelerator and rush into what God wants to do for you. Come on back. Music. Psalm 126. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. We hardly believed it." We couldn't believe. I've had 10 people this week say, "I can hardly believe what's going on in our church. I can hardly wait till the next service. I can hardly wait for a prayer meeting. When the Lord turned the captivity, we were like them that dreamed." Listen, verse 2. "Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was filled with singing. And then they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them." You see, that's how they know, is when our mouth is filled with the praises of God. Man. I don't have time. Isaiah 59. Guys, help me out. I don't know where we're going here. We'll skip around. Verse 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, His glory from the rising of the sun." Here's the verse we know. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me," God said, "this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words." Everyone say, "my words." So it's God's word, which I have put in thy mouth. It's God's word, but he put it in your mouth. It's God's principle, but he put it in your mouth. "It shall not return unto me void." Look at this. He said, "It's my word. It's going to go forth out of my mouth. It won't return unto me void." You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about, my mouth?" Look at the next verse. "For ye shall go out with joy." It's not God going to go out. It's you going to go out. He said, "I'll send forth my word. It'll go out of my mouth." But where it really connects is in verse 12. You walk out with joy. You be led with peace. And when you do, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. God said, even creation cannot resist the praises of the people of God. It's amazing. Look at this. I think I jumped scriptures all over the place, guys. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. I'm a mess this morning. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness covers all the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Here's the connection that I need to make. Back up to Isaiah 59 and verse 21 for me, guys. Oh, man, that was fast. That was good. Look, this is my covenant. I would say, this is my covenant. My spirit's upon thee. My words I put in your mouth. Everyone say, my words put in your mouth. That's what God did. They won't depart out of your mouth. They won't depart out of the mouth of your kids or out of the mouth of your kids' kids from henceforth or forever. But if you skip down, see, there's no chapter divisions in the original. Skip down to 60 verse 2. He said, when you put my words in your mouth, when you always speak my words out of your mouth, then the glory of the Lord, the Lord's going to arise on you. The glory of the Lord will be seen on you. And for this church, here's verse 3. And the Gentiles will come to your light, and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. God's going to do such amazing things that you won't be able to believe it, but neither will they. Jeremiah said in chapter 1, he said, the word of the Lord came to me. God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I commissioned you, I sanctified you, I ordained you. And he said in verse 6, God, I can't speak. I'm just a child. And the Lord said, don't you say you're a child, because you're going to go to everyone I send you to. And whatever I command you, you will speak. And down in verse 9, the Lord said, behold, I have put, here it is again, my words in your mouth. Now, how many people believe in the Word of God here this morning? That's a wonderful thing. How many believe the doctrines, the teaching of the Word of God? That's a wonderful thing. How many believe the promises of the Word of God? That's an incredible thing. But the issue is not whether you believe it in your head. The issue is confession is made by the mouth. Confession and worship and praise and confidence and boldness and access and assurance all come when you take the Word of God that you've believed for 50 years and you start speaking it out of your mouth. And here's how it sounds. God is sending us revival. God is adding to the church daily. God is healing me. God has delivered me. I am a child of God. I am going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The devil cannot hinder me. I am not a sick person trying to get healed. I am a healed person according to the promises of God. I am not a depressed person trying to manage a weak smile. I am a victorious person that's going to resist every tactic of the enemy. Sit down for a minute. You say, does that really work? Well, I think so. Because I hold in my hand the CAT scan report for Susan Coy. She went in for an emergency CAT scan because her mom and her grandmother and her aunt all died of a cerebral aneurysm. And the CAT scan showed, I can't read this doctor's writing, it's almost as bad as mine, a family history of cerebral aneurysm. This was an emergency CAT scan. Small focal protrusions on the cerebral artery, small protrusions at the junction of the carotid and something, something, something else artery. After that, it gets really medical. Actually, it's just messy writing is all it is. I can't read the rest of it. They said, Susan, you've got a family history. 3 in your family have died. And you've got these little bumps, these little swellings, these little protrusions on these arteries. So we got to figure something out to do here, because this could kill you. But Acts chapter 12 verse 5 says, but prayer was made. And Susan and David went home and said to each other, you know what this is? They didn't say, this is a death sentence. They didn't say, this is awful. What in the world are we going to do? You know what they went home and said to each other? This is a distraction. That's what they said. Direct quote, right, Susan? This is a distraction. So I hold in my hand from a couple weeks later, the CAT scan. I guess that person was an MRI, right? I don't know, medicine. Good thing I'm your preacher, not your doctor. You'd die. This is a CAT scan. The arterial anatomic detail is better seen on the blah, 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 blah. Listen, no intracranial aneurysm has been identified. Wait a minute, wait a minute. No, we got to get the details here. The routine axial sections, this makes sense to you, right? Through the head are unremarkable. Susan, thank God you have an unremarkable head. The ventricular system is normal. This is good. The gray-white matter differentiation is preserved. Glad your gray cells or whatever they are working. No lesions, no focal abnormalities are identified. Bold print. Negative examination. No intracranial aneurysm is seen. That's a distraction. You can worry yourself into an early grave over what the doctor said, or you can trust God and speak healing into your own life. Because if He's seated in heavenly places, He chose to put you in heavenly places with Him. Matt Arbo has an 89... Sit down. Matt Arbo has an 89-year-old great aunt. She's going in the hospital tomorrow. She's got two tumors that the doctors are very concerned about. She's at the end of her life. The statistics would say that it's less than 5% of people that ever even make a profession of faith at that age in their life. They're just too set in their ways. But this lady knows all about Pentecost because Matt's dad and his granddad are preachers, and this is his granddad's sister. And they showed up at her house yesterday to visit her. Yesterday? Friday. Yesterday. They spent 3 hours there. They baptized her in Jesus' name in her bathtub, and she received the power of the Holy Ghost in her life, speaking in other tongues. So it really doesn't matter how the hospital trip turns out. We got another new believer in the kingdom of God. You can choose to say, I'll never receive the Holy Ghost. I'll never get healed. I'll never. God chose to set you in heavenly places. And He said, if I've got the authority to do it, if I've got the power to do it, if I've ever done it for one, God is no respecter of persons. So if He's ever filled anybody with the Holy Ghost, He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. But here's the key. It's not in Him. It's already done up there. He's already done everything. It's right here. It's in your mouth when you speak forth the praises of God. I've never seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost. I've never seen anybody receive deliverance. I've never seen anybody receive any kind of miracle like that by standing in the presence of God and saying, if God wants to, He can do it. No. People that receive it, they learn what David learned. Through the mouths of babes and sucklings, You've ordained strength. They send up praise to God. They open up their mouth and they speak praise to God. A church opens up their mouth and the worship gets so loud we can't even penetrate it with a sound system. And when that starts to happen, miracles start to happen. It's not in the volume. It's in the mouth. It's not in just the words you say. It's in what you're doing. When the praises go up, the deliverance comes down. When the praises go up, the strength floods in. When the enemy rushes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. You read the verses with me this morning. You know what the standard is? It's people of God speaking out of their mouth the praises of God. Now, we got enough brakes around here to stop a Mack truck. But where are the people that just say, press the accelerator to the floor? I'm in. I'm in what God is doing. I'm in what God wants to do. I'm in for the Holy Ghost. I'm in for deliverance. I'm in for whatever God has for me. Where are those people? It's time to put the pedal to the metal and let God do what God wants to do. I know this is Sunday morning. Usually we have a higher per capita of breaks on Sunday morning, but the accelerators just kind of took over. And so if you'd like something from God for you or for somebody you're praying for, if you'd like the Holy Ghost, if you'd like deliverance, if you'd like a healing in your body, the place to be is right here, not back there. The place to be is right here. Because if you'll take a step toward God, every step you're saying, God, I believe it. God, I'm in. God, I want it. I'm not going to stand back and observe. I'm not going to stand back and just critique. I'm not going to stand back and wait. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. That sounds really good, but let's stop just for a minute. Everybody, I want you to lift up your voice right now. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, a good sermon is not going to do what we need right now. Good music is not going to do what we need right now. But what is going to do it is the praises of God's people. What is going to do it is speaking out the praises of God. Speak the word of God over yourself. Speak the word of God over yourself. I am healed because by His stripes I am healed. By His stripes I am healed. Some of you that need the Holy Ghost in this place, it shall come to pass. God said, I will pour out of my Spirit. And the promise is unto you. It's not just for everybody else. The promise is unto you. The promise is unto you. The promise is unto you. You're doing great. You're doing great. I know this is counterintuitive to some of you people that are of a quieter nature. I'm not asking you to break your neck. I'm just asking you to do what the Bible says. And out of your mouth, let flow the praises of God. Some of you people that your personality is more out there and in the center. Some of you people that you've just got a more exuberant nature. Right now you should be in full gear. Right now you should be in full tilt. Because God has been better to you than everything else. Strength comes through this. While you're sending up praise right now, God's sending back strength to you. While you're sending up praise, God has a gift for some of you. It's the Holy Ghost. God has a gift for some of you. It's the Holy Ghost. You can receive it right now. You don't receive it with your mouth.